Hi, I'm Danica Johnson.
And I'm Chris LeConte.
And we are Champion Chat 360.
All right, well, what a weekend. We are here at Danica's house, and we have a very special guest. He's so excited to be on with us. Danica, how are you?
Good. I had so much fun this weekend. Yeah. I know that we'll have there's a girl, Kellyanne.
Mm-hmm.
Kellyanne? I think I'm pronouncing her name right. But she videotaped lot of our seminar, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good to go out last night. We did not go out and get crazy. We just went out to dinner.
We did get decaf coffees.
We did. That was a little insane. But that was our wildness. But we went out with the big boss guy. It was a good weekend.
Yeah.
Posing was fun.
Posing was fun. Very cool to both be pregnant and do posing class. Always good.
Definitely took a little bit more wear and tear on the body than I was expecting.
A little sore. It's okay.
Came home, put a heating pack on. No big deal.
It's fine. Next phase of life, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So we're sitting, if I could paint a picture, it would be all American, of sitting on the Johnson's front porch. There's mountains in the background, beautiful sky, clouds, American flag, green grass, like everything. And it doesn't get more patriotic than Officer Johnson.
That's Trooper Johnson.
Oh, sorry. Trooper Johnson. My bad. Now I'm going to get like a demerit. We are dragging him to do this. He is not looking forward to it, but Matt, thanks for joining us.
Of course, Chrissy. Thank you. Danica as well. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Thank you, babe. I think that, so one of the big reasons why I wanted to have him on is a lot of the times when we have like really, really kind of deep topics, I mention that a lot where my philosophies come from or what keeps me motivated or just little tip points that like Matt does give to me. And I know I talk about him a lot. So I really think that it's important for our listeners to hear a non-bikini competitor.
Right.
And, you know, I think he is in the world of competing. He's in my world a lot, so to hear from a significant other is really important.
We haven't had a couple on before.
No.
You guys are our first competing couple.
I know.
Oh my goodness.
And what's interesting is that Matt actually got me involved in health and fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays a huge role in, like, where I am today. And I don't think, like, he recognizes, like, the importance of that. But I don't know if I would have been, like, what I'm doing today if it wasn't for him and his direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really think it's important for listeners to hear from him rather than, like, me speaking for him all the time.
Yeah. It's fun because he's kind of the yin to your yang.
Yes.
You guys definitely are opposites, but enough alike.
Yes.
So
and you get to see, you've talked many times about like, oh, if you guys could see the interaction between them.
Yes.
how the relationship is, how they communicate with each other, and it all like makes sense. And yeah, it will be cool to have this little interview.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Matt, just tell us how you got started in the competition world, or fitness in life.
Just health and fitness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it started in high school, being a three-sport athlete, wrestling, football, baseball. I wrestled in the 96-pound weight
class. Get out of town!
In high school, up until my senior year. So I was naturally a smaller guy, and that made me really want to build muscle, get stronger, get faster. And I was constantly in the gym from age 16 onward, and I haven't stopped since. And that really, that motivation helped me get to where I'm at today. Being a state trooper eventually led me to being on the SWAT team. I believe health and fitness can play such a vital role in your life. And I think that if you make that a priority, good things will come. So it started off in high school, and then in college that turned to bodybuilding. I didn't play any sports in college. I went to Oneonta. That's where I met Danica.
Aw. Thump, 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 thump.
And my first competition was my sophomore year in college, and I really enjoyed it. I liked how you can transform your body with just food. I've never stopped lifting. My style of lifting in the weight room, that's always been consistent for the past 10 years. Mm-hmm. I always thought it was just awesome that you can change your physique by just your diet. Mm-hmm. And that's what bodybuilding is to me. It's just a hobby, but it definitely keeps me strong, healthy, fast. And I need that in my career, and mm-hmm. I like to be the tip of the spear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a little bit of an alpha. We'll say it. I'll say it.
Yeah.
I like alphas.
A little bit.
Yeah. I like alphas.
Who motivated you, like, to get started?
Really, I take, when I see a guy who's in good shape, well-spoken, mm-hmm. well-dressed, strong, fast, good career, successful, that really motivates me. It doesn't matter who it is. There's plenty of people in my life that I can name here, but I'll just keep it to, I get highly motivated by success.
Yeah.
And yeah. Even women, too. I really enjoy that. I enjoy seeing it. I enjoy talking to people. And that made me want to be one of these people I look up to mm-hmm. and emulate. And I try to do the best I possibly can every day. You know, I always think, and Danica yells at me for being a perfectionist, but
he never makes mistakes more than once.
And no, that's not true.
I'm just kidding.
But we've talked about this too, and I love that you're going to speak on it, because we have talked about this yes. in our podcast.
I certainly think that if you try and be the best version of yourself, and everybody plays multiple roles, I don't care what you do for work, every single person has multiple roles. If you can be a perfect husband, a perfect father, a perfect whatever you may do, a personal trainer, police officer, firefighter, teacher, if you can try to perfect all things in your life, you really are setting yourself up for success, and you're not taking any shortcuts in any of those avenues. It can really build a successful future. I believe strongly in that. I try to be the best version of myself in all avenues. Mm-hmm. And I make mistakes, just like everyone else.
Only once.
Yeah.
It's a running joke that we had for this weekend that they have more often, but
yeah,
it was a good joke.
I think I like bust on him, but it's probably because I recognize that's something that I want to work on,
yeah.
And it doesn't come as easy for me for mm-hmm. some reason. Maybe because I'm so scattered, but he does a really good job at saying to himself, like, I would like to, he gave me a good example, like, he would like to be the best brother he can be. Mm-hmm. So if that means being in more communication with his sister, then when is the time that he can do that action?
Yeah.
So I have 30 minutes to travel home from work. I'm going to make a phone call. It's only going to take 3 to 5 minutes out of my day, and that will help me to perfect or be the best version of a brother that I can be.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of looking at your goal, like making that big goal for yourself
mm-hmm.
and then working backwards.
Yeah, absolutely.
And figuring out how do I achieve that goal. When it comes to like mistakes, like how we say, it's the same exact concept. Like this happened, it was a mistake that could have been worse, or could it have been avoided
mm-hmm.
in the future? What do I need to do to make sure that this doesn't happen again?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, making a mistake is going to happen, and, like, we're all humans. But if you could put into place strategies or different things to make sure that it doesn't happen again,
mm-hmm.
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think, Matt, that it helps you to have a less stressed life being like that? Because I know some people probably listen, and they're like, I don't know if I could ever do that. Personally, I agree with you in that if you've got a goal, you just go do the action to it. And we talked about this kind of with the ladies yesterday.
Right.
About we always, all these people want to be this X thing, whatever it is, like the list that you named off. But then they get almost overwhelmed by achieving that because that rock's so hard to move. So do you think by setting those little goals that it makes it easier for you to keep going back to your, air quotes, quote, perfect
version of what you want to be?
Yeah, sure. I definitely agree with that, Christy. I really believe in a positive lifestyle, and if you constantly are giving out positive vibes to people, constantly, no one's going to come to you with negatives. Mm-hmm. And when people talk to me, it tends to be a positive conversation, not only because I'm talking about what's going good in my life, mm-hmm. it's because they know my personality now, and they come to me with positives, and it just tends to lift that cloud off myself, because people are coming to me with positives now, and they know I don't want to hear about the negatives. Everyone out there can talk to you about negatives, mm-hmm. and usually you interact with someone on the street, and it could be a short visit, and they instantly talk about problems in
yeah. life.
So-and-so's not doing well, mm-hmm. the weather's hot, it's cold, I got this coming up. It's usually exclusively negative.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have positives going on. I don't care what's going on in your life, we all have positives that we can focus on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so important, and that's what I really try and do. Another thing, you talked about the brother or sister type of role that I try and do a good job of. I'm definitely not where I'd like to be with that, but it feels good when people compliment you or say some nice things to you. I appreciate that so much, because I don't get it often. I don't think people get that enough.
Yeah.
I don't think people get that enough. So I know how it makes me feel. I try and give that to people.
You do.
And I force myself to say positive things, and I really think that lifts people up, because they don't get, you know, if I see, I'll be the first one to call a guy, hey, you look good today, man. That's a nice haircut you got on.
Should we talk about Matt's haircut, how great it is?
That's a nice pair of shoes you got on.
It's a really good haircut.
I'm usually the first one to kind of mention those things, and it's, I think it's good. I think it's rarely said,
mm-hmm.
the positives. I don't know if it stems from jealousy or what, but people aren't quick to say, hey, you've made some real gains in your physical fitness, mm-hmm. or you should be really proud of yourself because of the success that you've had with your career. I don't think people give each other enough credit when it comes to those things. And
agreed.
I'm trying to
do
that myself. Yeah.
So how do you deal? I know you said that they don't really come around you much, but how do you deal with negative people?
I always try to turn it into a positive.
Mm. Okay.
And I will flat out say, so how about this, knowing they do have a positive in their life? Just focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so easy to focus on the negatives.
I agree. I call these people Eeyores. They walk around with their cloud over. I'm like, hey, can I put your tail back on? What's the use? It's just going to fall back off.
Yeah. Yeah. He does a good job, too. And I think I spoke on this yesterday, too. But the second you complain about something, he is very quick to tell you, change it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, then don't do it. Like, if that's not making you happy, mm-hmm. stop. Like, he's there. It's a very, I know that a lot of people try to make it so complex, and they make it overwhelming, where it could be very stressful. Mm-hmm. But when you break it down and simplify it, it's really not that complex. Like,
right.
if you, and we use shows, like computing as like a thing, and he would tell me if I started to complain about something, he'll even stop me. He'll be like, stop. Let's start with one. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not making you happy? Stop that. You need to, like, drink more water? Fill up your water bottle. Mm-hmm. Like, very, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where he got that from. Maybe it's because
that's
he doesn't...
That's my next question.
Yeah, like, maybe it's because you just don't have time. Like,
I just don't have time.
I don't have time for the complexity of life.
Still 300 hours, I don't have time.
Yeah.
Where did it come from? I'm a big fan of people look, like, what? Why? I don't know if you know that we did our full frontals. Because so many people look at Danica and I and they see this end product of where we are right now. Mm-hmm. It's not our end product, it's our current product.
Mm-hmm.
And they might get frustrated because we're positive or I'm short, like a little bit, like just, you know, mm-hmm. do what you gotta do, and direct, I guess is a better word to say than short. How did you get to the point where you choose positivity?
I do think that it's come from the last at least 5 years. I've been a trooper for 6 years, and with that career comes, I guess, the positive and negative and of seeing everything.
Yeah.
I've seen quite a bit. I've seen the way the other half lives. I've seen a lot of death, which is always hard. And people always say the cliche, life is short. They may not really have seen that.
Right.
I certainly have. I've certainly seen death and have to be on that front end of that situation, whether it be a 15-year-old, whether it be an old man. I've seen the entire ladder of it, and it really just puts things into perspective that life is short, mm-hmm. and you should not live a negative lifestyle. I am the first one to tell Danica this, and it won't happen because she's perfect. But if I'm not happy at home, your home should be your castle, and that should be positivity and nothing but, because life can be tough, so your home should be your sanctuary, and that should mm-hmm. be a good place. If you have negative energy, whether it be a wife or husband, mm-hmm. or the house is falling apart, or you're in a bad spot at home, move. Like, I'm big on making these life changes. If you're not happy with your career, then get out of your career. Yep. Do something different. Change your lifestyle. Lose 100 pounds. And those big changes can lead to a different life, a separate life. So when people are complaining about little things, I just tell them to stop.
Yeah.
Like, do something different. Stop doing that. If it's big things, I tell them the same thing. Just change it. And, you know, it's scary for some, but if I wasn't happy with my career, I would stop and change. Mm-hmm. I know I'm more than capable of doing that. And I don't have time for negativity. Life's too short. It truly is too short. Mm-hmm. And some people don't have the benefit and the option to make those changes. And if you're an able-bodied man, woman, then you should do everything you can to set yourself up for positivity.
I like to have people be able to take something away. Do you have, like, an action that has helped you with your daily routine of being positive?
I'm into reading.
Yeah.
And those are some of the authors that I'm reading up on. Those are some of the guys that motivate me. And you should always surround yourself with men and women that motivate you, mm-hmm. that push you. And it doesn't, these guys and girls, they don't have to be power couples or mm-hmm. CEOs or the colonel of the state police. You can just pull qualities from people. And what I like doing, I think everybody has at least one amazing quality that you can emulate, and to kind of feel out the people that are in your life and get a hold of what their qualities are, and then ideally you will pull those qualities from those people and take them on yourself. Maybe this person is outspoken and you want to be more outspoken, so you try and follow that person. Or this person just has great posture and has their shoulders rolled back, and you say to yourself, why does she always look so good? Why does he always look so good? And it may be his or her posture. Mm-hmm. So now your posture is getting better. Surround yourself with positivity. And I guess, so the one action, Christy, would be that I really try and feel out my friends, because they're my friends for a reason, my family. You know, I try to feel out what special qualities they all have, and I try to really pick and choose those qualities and take them all on. I fail most of the time. But
only once.
I try my best to mentally, physically, spiritually, I try my best to emulate all these qualities that I see that I like.
Mm-hmm. Do you have something that's hard for you? Because people are probably like, man, this guy's awesome, mm-hmm. but there's got to be something that he's not good at.
Yeah.
He's smiling.
No, I am my worst critic. By far. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And in the gym, I can be stronger. On the track, I can be faster. I can be a better leader at work, you know. And some people think I'm fast on the track or big in the gym or I have good leadership skills. I'm not there yet. Mm-hmm. And
For you.
That's my, that was going to be a follow-up.
Well, you say for me, but I'm not where I want to be.
Exactly.
And you're not there. I think that's a good quality. Yeah, I don't think I'll ever be there. At some point, I hope to be. It'll probably be when I'm 60.
Getting retired.
Yeah.
Already a goal?
Yep.
Date,
time, set.
So yeah, if things are going easy for you, you're doing something wrong. You should never have an easy way of life, and you should always be challenging yourself. Like, I just started reading a few years ago because I found myself maybe watching TV before work. I worked night shift. I would go to the gym and maybe watching TV, and I thought to myself, how am I benefiting myself right now? And the answer was I wasn't. So I started reading in the afternoons before work, and that's, you know, philosophy, books, psychology, and Danica will yell at me again because I'm kind of narrow-minded when it comes to my book selection. But a lot of military leadership books, military history, and anyway, I am benefiting greatly from these books. So if you're not challenging yourself on a daily basis, you need to do something about that to make that change. And Danica's pregnant.
Yeah, which this could be a great topic.
Which
next.
We're extremely excited about. But that'll be a whole new challenge for us. And I was at the point where I was feeling a little stagnant with myself and been in my career for 6 years, and the weight room hasn't changed. Improvements could be made there, but I felt stagnant, and no better way to change that up than to have a child. Things are going to be changing quite a bit around the Johnson household. So we're excited for that. So my one thing to that question is just, if you're not going through hardships, you're doing something wrong, you should always be challenging yourself and creating challenges. Some people think that when they see success, they see someone that's positive, that there's nothing wrong in their life.
Yep.
They are creating challenges for themselves, and the success you see is a byproduct of them trying to overcome these challenges, and their life can sometimes be more challenging than the person who's struggling, because they're focused more on bettering themselves rather than bettering the situation. Their situation.
That's a really interesting thing to say, that their life may be challenging, more challenging than somebody who's struggling, because they're choosing to better themselves
daily.
I
think it's the same thing with The Rock, right? You, as in pushing the boulder up the hill.
Yes.
We're giving our, you know, I don't want to say we, success, oh sure, I'll say we.
Yeah.
We're giving ourselves a new rock every day.
Yep.
We're not at the bottom of the hill, but we're in the middle of the hill, maybe putting another pebble on. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So maybe we're not trying to get the ball rolling. We have it going, but we're adding little rocks to the...
Yeah.
Maybe it's like Play-Doh.
Yeah.
I'm just adding more Play-Doh to
it. Yeah, making it a little bit heavier. But being okay with it, too.
Yeah.
And recognizing that if you don't, then you're not challenging yourself, and you're not advancing yourself or developing further qualities that you may have inside of you, you just haven't tapped into yet.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, Matt and I have very similar views where, I mean, a running joke is that he lives in Candyland.
Yes.
And that everything is just peachy keen. And it's not that everything is peachy keen. It's that everything that comes as a challenge is seen as an opportunity for growth rather than let me be stuck here and look at my challenge and poor pity me, which is fine if you want to do that, but then stop, like then move on, like move forward. And that Matt does a really good job at that too, because I have really tough days where just the other day I said to him, I wish I didn't have diabetes someday.
Yeah.
And he said, I know, sweetheart, but you also have a lot of amazing things going on.
Yeah.
And just those, like, he, like, recognized that, like, that was a moment of, like, a little bit of a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But he also reminded me of all the amazing things that I have going on in my life, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that it only makes me a stronger person. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we also say sometimes, Matt, that it's, people are stuck in mud. So was there a mud point for you that made you push towards this life instead of that life? Because you said about 5 years ago.
But yeah, I said the 5 years ago in relation to opening my eyes.
Uh-huh.
I grew up in a good family, and I had never stepped foot into some households that most people will never see.
Right.
And I was shocked
yeah.
at what I saw. And it was a real eye-opener to me, as in the fact that if you have opportunity in front of you, you better seize it, because the majority of people around you do not have opportunity. And I can say, you know, with Danica and her diabetes, and so many people around me have an issue, whether it be a medical disease, a learning disability, something to that effect, a physical handicap, people have to overcome some obstacles. And if you find yourself in a position where you don't have any obstacles, you better create them. You absolutely better create them. You better create challenges for yourself. Otherwise, you're not doing yourself or anyone around you any benefit by just skating by. There's too many people with issues that if you're capable, if you have all the opportunity in the world, you better be doing something special with your life.
So that's interesting, yeah. Little point of view, because we were looking at you found your old books.
Yeah.
So, and I know it's a hard thing, especially you being pregnant and having diabetes.
Yeah.
When he said that, it kind of like, oh shit, like that's her thing. Like, that's what makes it hard for you for life, because, yeah. I mean, honestly, what would be hard about your life? You're gorgeous, smart.
I definitely create other challenges.
Right, and we can all create our own challenges.
I love to make my life difficult. But, yeah, so I pulled up old books that I had of when I was 11 years old and workbooks of how to count a carb and what's your exchange ratio for each food item and what happens if it's not 15 grams of carbohydrates, but it's 22? How many units of insulin do you give yourself then? Mm-hmm. And then I showed you, too, the book that I got for, like, Christmas or my birthday. That was, like, the Calorie King book of, like, how many... this huge book that tells you how many carbs and fats and calories are in each food item at restaurants. And I think that is my challenge. Mm-hmm. And that is, I've said this before, I think it's a blessing in disguise because it's made me appreciate life more. Mm-hmm. That's like my mud though. Like, yeah. it could be quicksand,
yep.
Real fast. Mm-hmm. And I could stay there forever if I wanted to. I could make it the worst thing in my life. Mm-hmm. But why?
Right.
Like, why do that? I'm going to have rough days. Everybody has rough days. And I guess just like with any challenge, I saw it as an opportunity to be like, how can I take this on? If I can't get rid of this, like, mm-hmm. I can't. Like, I'm stuck with it for the rest of my life unless there's, like, a cure. But how can I twist it into something that could be positive, or how can I help others? I feel like you've done the same thing.
Yeah.
With, I don't know if Matt is aware of your, like, reading.
Everything.
Of your everything.
Yeah. We've talked about it.
Yeah, yeah. But I feel like you have done the same thing. Like,
yeah.
Telling people, teach yourself.
Yeah. Learn how to learn.
Learn how to learn.
I did. And mine was kind of the same. It seeped into other areas where I was insecure about one thing.
Right.
So then that insecurity went to other things. And I had to put a stop to it. Like, that's why I asked Matt, what did you have a thing? Because ours isn't mm-hmm. 11 years old, you're going to die if you don't give yourself a shot daily kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Ours is more surface, I guess. Not,
yep.
like we're not going to die from our things.
Yeah, yeah.
But it could make life harder, whatever.
Right.
Yep. So I did, I had that we kind of talked about. I realized it wasn't worth being angry, defensive, sad, feeling like a victim anymore. Because mm-hmm. that was what we call the mud for me.
Right.
I was always just kind of like poor me in a way.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, instead of being poor me, why don't we figure out how we can be like better me?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
You know what's also interesting too? Everybody, I've said this to Matt many times, but everybody looks for like, what is your struggle?
Yeah.
Like, what are you struggling with? Mm-hmm. What's bad in your life. Mm-hmm. And Matt has been like, why do I need something bad?
Yeah.
Like, why can't I just be doing a good job at life? Like, why does there always have to be a negative?
It'd be kind of cool if we could, like, set a weekly thing for people. Like, hey, how did you flip the paradigm for someone, you and yourself? Yeah. Instead of being like, because how many times, like Matt was saying, someone will walk up and be like, looks like it's gonna rain today. Yeah.
Exactly. I can't stand yeah. those kind of comments.
Instead of be like, hey, how are you doing today?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me something good.
Yes. Yeah. And I think we do that, like
yeah.
ending
we
our...
We end it, yeah.
We end it really well. What makes you... Because from an outsider, and I have even said this before, like how our upbringing is very, very different. Like our life upbringing, if you just like laid out like parents, how we were raised, households, completely polar opposite. Most would look at yours and be like, well, that's just fucking perfect. And like, what a hot mess that she came from. But what is, I said this to Christy, what's hilarious and just ironic is you and I have very, very similar points of views. And I think it's because you were able to recognize, like, I really was raised in a really good household and had a really good upbringing. And I'm not just going to let that, like, I'm not going to coast.
Let's make sure our listeners know that the good upbringing was not financial blessings. It was just,
no.
I'm from a blue collar family, and the morals that were instilled in myself, my two siblings, were
strong.
Hardly instilled, yeah. So, that's where I'm coming from as far as coming from a good family. I appreciate that, and yeah.
Well, you appreciate it. Like, I think that's a key thing, is that maybe sometimes people don't appreciate the good things that are happening in their life.
I certainly think you're right about that.
So then they, like, take it for granted.
Yes.
And then there's no growth.
Yes.
Because they lay stagnant. Like, you, and also, our listeners do know this because I've talked about it, but your parents have been together since they were like 13 years old.
Yes.
That's so cute.
It's adorable. Right. So, my parents are divorced, remarried. Like, I live in a Brady Bunch family. They've gone through their ups and downs and everything, and I learned to appreciate that. Which is interesting, because maybe it's the appreciation of, like, of life in general that has brought us to the same, having the same morals, and just being able to appreciate what life gives you, whether it is the parents being together for 13 years, or parents being divorced, and either way, that was what you were given, and if you can't learn to appreciate it, then, like, what are you really doing in life? Because, as you said, coming back to, like, the life is short, why would you not want to appreciate those little things in life? Mm-hmm. It can be hard sometimes, too. I think people aren't able to switch their
paradigm
and say, like, but this is a blessing in disguise.
Because some people don't learn that.
No.
Like, the people who Matt has to go into the house,
yeah,
they haven't learned that they can get out. Because they've been told so often they can't. Mm-hmm. Like, I never thought that I would, you know, do what I did in my life. And I was actually told, we didn't think you were going to be able to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
But me being a spitfire who I am was like, F you. Right. I'm going to do it now because you said I couldn't.
Right.
Which is not a great way, like we talked about before. But I think that's really why I do what I do, to be honest, is I always want to help someone get past that I never thought I could. Like, we talked a little bit, and I'll ask you this, Matt. We talked to some people, but what was something that you once thought was impossible that you now are able, that you did or able to do?
I always look at success as a real challenge, meaning everything spiritually, mentally, financially, physically. It's rare to see someone with success in all avenues of their life. And I think that's something that's maybe an impossible feat. Everyone has their faults. I certainly have mine. I think the key is to recognize your faults and try to improve them. But I don't see many people with it all figured out.
Yeah.
And I'm on my way to try.
Right.
My way to try. So I think that's an impossible feat. And I'll try and, hopefully one day I'll be satisfied with everything. But back it up just a minute to people not being grateful for what they have. And I think one thing that I was able to do is, and you can only achieve this, I think, by being a police officer, really, because you two ladies will never step foot inside someone else's world, really.
Yeah.
And I'm forced to do that.
Yeah.
I will never be in some situations that I'm currently in, and maybe we'll be in tonight or tomorrow night, without being a police officer. Mm-hmm. And that has allowed me to look into someone else's world. Some people get so entrenched with their environment that they can't look beyond it. They can't see what the neighbor's doing.
Yeah.
And they never will see what the neighbor's doing.
Or they don't want to.
Or they don't want to. They'll never see behind that closed door. And I've seen it. Mm-hmm. And it's usually not pretty. And it just really opened my eyes to what I have and what my family has and what my friends have. And I try and make that very clear to the people who I know are living positive lives. I try and help them realize that they shouldn't take it for granted, because there's a lot of evil in this world.
Yeah.
And for people in my circle outside of work, they don't necessarily know that or see it. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking about politics here, but...
Remember, we didn't ask. You're about to say something.
Just, as far as the politics go, some people are basing their views and their judgments about their environment. And they do not understand what's happening behind the closed door down the street from them.
Right.
They don't understand what's happening. And I would only hope that some people could listen to those who do experience things and have seen things. Listen to those that can give a broader approach to politics when it comes to that, because I think it's so important to look outside your world.
Yeah, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think for a lot of our listeners, maybe something that they think is impossible, mm-hmm. especially in like the fitness world, is balance of... or whatever your balance may be, mm-hmm. of food and exercise and body image and having, like, a social life. And I personally feel that sometimes it is impossible. And then I see my husband, and I'm like, fuck, it's possible. How does that happen? So how
like
do you...
Like date nights.
Like, yeah. How have you achieved that? Because... you have a very good, I feel like for our listeners, it would be important for them to understand your relationship with food, how you balance like social gatherings or still getting your workout in, but being able to like enjoy Thanksgiving dinner and not really like care, but just do you.
So first and foremost, my social life sucks, and that's one area that could be improved.
It's because you guys live in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
But it's beautiful.
that's one thing I wish I did more. I wish I saw more of my friends, more of my family. We live hours away from our family and friends. And I wish we had more of a social life. We're just so busy, but that's no excuse, and everyone can make time.
It's because he's a Gemini. You know that, right? Yeah. I'm a Gemini, too. That's why I'm joking. Anyway, sorry.
My big thing about food... and the gym, and balance, and consistency, because some people see me at a barbecue, and I'm eating whatever I want, or some people see me at the Christmas table, and I'm eating whatever I want, or it could be a really rough day at my training, my job, and I'll take the day off from the gym, and here they see this guy who's in pretty decent shape, and I'm eating potato salad, or I'm skipping the gym. My big thing is that there's 365 days a year. Mm-hmm. And if you're working out 300 of those days, you're going to be pretty strong pretty fast. And if you're eating clean meals, if I eat roughly 6 meals a day, if I would say 6 out of those 6 are very healthy. I guess what I'm saying is 1 meal a week out of how many? Mm-hmm. Math's not a strong point. Maybe one day it could be. out of all of,
I think it's a strong point actually to be able to have
all those meals. If you're having one cheat meal, one potato salad, that's not going to do a thing to your body. Mm-hmm. It really will not. And some people, that's why their diets fail, because they do not allow themselves that one meal, and they become so restrictive. My thing is it's consistency. If you're eating clean at home, all of your meals, you're cooking all your meals. When you leave your house, maybe you're going out for sushi. You can have whatever you want at the sushi restaurant, and you'll be perfectly fine, because one meal will not affect you. And I'm not talking about doing this diet for a month and having 4 cheat meals that month. I'm talking about years and being consistent throughout life and really being healthy living healthy, one pasta salad every couple, twice a year is not going to do anything to
right.
That's what I'm getting at. Yeah. Some people don't realize that.
Yeah.
Same thing with gym. Sorry to interrupt.
No.
Same thing with gym. If you're working out every single day, I try and work out every day. If I take one day off every 2 months, that one day off will not do anything. It will not change a thing. So consistency, knowing your body.
Mm-hmm.
What were you saying, sweetie?
I was going to say, what is your why behind why you eat that way? Like, why do you prep your meals? Why do you choose to eat healthy, and why do you choose to work out?
It's because I can. I'm able to. I have the financial means to have chicken, steak, rice, potatoes. Some people aren't fortunate enough to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the means to make healthy food, and you are what you eat, very simply put. And I'm not going to fuel my body with Mountain Dew and Kraft mac and cheese, because then I'll end up looking like shit.
You might be a little orange, yeah. Actually, just at that point.
Do you think that... So, like, if you were to prioritize, and I think I know this answer, but I think for a lot of people, aesthetics come way before health, where I think that for you, health comes first, and aesthetics are involved as well, but it's not so much of, like, this, like, strong piece of, like, this is why I have to eat this way, because I aesthetically am going to be good.
And you and I have talked about this. Aesthetics
right.
have always followed me. That is not my goal. Bodybuilding is a hobby for me, and aesthetics are not my goal. My goal is to be healthy,
mm-hmm.
strong, fast, and my career...
Depends on it.
I really have to be those things in order for me to stay safe and to keep my fellow troopers safe. And I need to know that I'm capable at work. And being on the SWAT team, that's extremely challenging.
Absolutely.
And like I said, I like to be the tip of the spear, and I'm always trying to be that guy that I can look up to.
Right.
If that makes sense. And I know
we
that...
put that up there. So we have strive to be that person that you wish that you had when you were younger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. That's really important. I didn't realize that you and I mean, it doesn't surprise me that you and I have the same view on that, but yeah, Christy and I just talked about that. Like, the person that we wish we had speaking to us when we were younger that we would like to look up to. And who, I say that too, to people are like, where do you get your inspirational posts from and stuff like that? And I tell them, like, to be honest, I want to read back that post so I can read it to myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can receive that message that was delivered to everybody, and I can receive it as well.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not just to put it out there for everybody else. It's for me to, like, go back and read it. If you could change one thing in, like, the health and fit, so one thing in the health and fitness world, and then take it a step further, one thing in the competitive bodybuilding world, what would it be? So first, just health and fitness in general.
Health and fitness, that would be... I would change the persona of a diet. I can't stand people that go on these diets, because a healthy lifestyle is not dieting. Like, so many people, my family, friends, I've seen it so many times where people start a diet and they almost 100% fail, because a diet, I'll put it in quotations here, you can't see it, but a diet in quotations, that's not sustainable. You can't diet for 80 years.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. You can eat healthy for your entire life. And some people hop on these diets, or they, even MyFitnessPal, you're not going to be doing that your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be. And people need to understand that. They hop on this diet that a doctor gives them, or their friend gives them, or their personal trainer gives them, and at the end of the day, it's not sustainable. At one point in the future, they're going to stop. They're going to stop counting on the back of that box of how many carbs this has in it. So it would just be eating healthy, and we all know eating healthy is, don't get me started on that. You know, you've been learning what's healthy and what's not healthy since kindergarten.
Right.
Fruits, vegetables, meats, your dairy. it's so easy. People say, what do I eat? And I get upset.
Mm-hmm. Go back to your basics.
I eat my fruits, vegetables, my potatoes, my rice, my proteins, my dairy. I don't eat cakes, cookies, soda, fried food, fast food. It's simple stuff. People know when they're putting stuff, poison into their bodies. Mm-hmm. They know it. And that bothers me because that's simple stuff right there. So that's the one thing about health. I don't like these diets. It's all about healthy eating.
Yep.
And competitive bodybuilding or bikini competing?
Yeah, be honest.
You can curse, too,
you
by the way.
You can curse, yeah. We curse. What do you feel should be... Come on, we've talked about this. What do you feel should
he's
be...
Giving okay. words, right?
So,
he's giving his words right
now. I feel a precursor to stepping on a stage. You should be the most in shape in your gym. Yep. People should already be coming up to you, asking you, what do you eat? What have you been doing? It shouldn't be a lose a whole bunch of weight and then step on stage. I think that's very unhealthy. I think it should be maintained for at least 2-3 years prior to stepping on stage because competing can be very hard mentally.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gone through it myself, I'll be honest, because I've always come from a place where health comes first and bodybuilding is just a hobby to me. And for some, it's not a hobby, it's their career, and that's a different sport for them. But when I see these people who maybe lose a whole bunch of weight and step on stage, they're not going to be doing very well mentally once they stop competing. And
why?
Because now they've gone from two polar opposites, from an unhealthy lifestyle to being on stage and people wanting to emulate them. And what are they actually emulating? It's not their healthy lifestyle, it's this physique that they won't inevitably won't maintain. The competing world is very interesting. Very interesting.
Quotations. Interesting.
Yes.
Yes.
I just see a lot of people get into it for the wrong reasons, and I think it should be more exclusive than it is. I think people, maybe it's social media that's encouraging people to post pictures or whatever. They're doing it for the wrong reasons. I think shows should be, that's competitive. It's not, that's not a health and wellness competition like some people make it out to be. Like, I lost a whole bunch of weight, so I'm going to put my body on display. No. When I think of competing, it's exactly that. It's actual competition. Mm-hmm. People who are taking health fitness to the next level. It's not getting in shape doing the show. It's, I've been in shape for 5 to 10 years. I'm kind of stagnant right now. I want to compete. I want to win. I think there's just a big problem with that right now in the competing world. Mm-hmm. I'm not even in the competing world and I see it. Just because of you, I think some people shouldn't be competing and they should really evaluate their goals.
Yeah, and their whys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me, how has it been being a significant other of somebody who was in the competition world for 6 straight years? How has that affected you? Or were there certain moments that you were like, God, I just wish this, I don't understand why we're doing this any longer?
I never really had those thoughts with you.
Yeah,
you've always been at the top of your game, so
thanks, babe.
I understood where you were coming from. You were being competitive, and
right.
I totally get that. You were already at that fitness level where you wanted to progress.
Right.
You weren't all over the place. You were never unhealthy, as far as being prior to competing.
I mean, right. Prior
you were coming
to...
from a very sound place, and I understand that competitive drive, that's a good thing. For some people, I would definitely recommend competing. Others, absolutely not.
Yeah, yeah. I think that, you know, another thing I think you saw was, you saw my struggles too, post-show, and I wonder if you recognize that she can pull herself out of this. Like, she's got this. Like, even... Well, because you're very black and white, too. So
yes.
You're like, you're struggling. Get yourself out. Like, I'm not going to give you a rope. Like, because you have all the tools that you need in order to get yourself out of that mud and move forward. And is that just a is it a quality that you saw in me to say, no, she's got this, like she can get out of it? Or is it because you know the quality that you have inside of you, so you're like, well, she must be able to get herself out of it?
Well, I've always been so real with you.
Yeah.
And just goes back to my philosophy kind of in life. If you're stuck somewhere, change it.
Right.
Like, really change it. Don't just say you're going to do it. Make a move and change it. So if people are competing around me and they're complaining about it, you're not getting paid for this. Only a select few are. And from my experience, you know, my circle, not many are.
Right.
So stop. Completely get out of the sport and reassess your situation.
If it's not making you happy.
It's not making you happy, go from there. So every time you and I would have that conversation, it would kind of change your direction, and then you would understand why you're doing it again, and that phase will slowly pass.
Yeah.
That cloud will lift. And I think it's important to have those people in your life that are real with you and say, and to actually say, because sometimes you get caught up in competing and the diet, and I think it's important to have someone say, if you don't want to do this, don't. It's okay to stop.
Yeah.
No, I've always been real with you.
Christy does a good job at reminding our listeners, too, of this is just a part of your life. Because sometimes it's hard. It can be all-encompassing. And this is just a part of it. You have so many other parts of your life. This is just one part of your life. And to remind everybody of that, you do that as well. Really quick, though, back on carb counting. How has it been? You've been with me for almost 11 years now. It's a long friggin' time.
Long time, guys.
Whew. How has it been? How has living with somebody and being with somebody with juvenile diabetes, how has that shifted your mindset or perspective on health and fitness? Like, has it taught you anything? Has it opened up your eyes? How has that been?
Yeah, so, what Christy was asking, we've been here for about an hour ago, what opened my eyes to things.
Mm-hmm.
One of those things being living with you and having diabetes. That made me realize I don't have diabetes.
Yeah. And I was actually, this weekend, to be honest, I think a lot of the talks we had, I was like, I realized I don't have diabetes.
Yeah. I see some struggles that some people have to manage.
Yes.
So why can't I cook my chicken?
Right.
And I can eat a bowl of rice. I mean, I don't have to calculate it. So that's one step I don't have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I see my wife calculating everything, and that can be so overwhelming to her. And I give her so much credit to do that. So why can't I make my steak and potato? Why can't I eat good? Cause she, you know, some people, her included, are forced to do these things, and to the extent that I don't do it, because I don't have to. I don't have this disease, and I think it's just admirable that you're so focused with diabetes and managing.
Yeah.
Or you'll die.
Has it helped you to? Because you are a very good support with me when it comes to like eating out, or you back me up, and I'll remind you, like, please back me up at this Thanksgiving dinner. But has it opened up your mind to see how often people judge when you do eat healthy? Like, I think that if you weren't with me, who needs to calculate everything, I don't think it would be as apparent, as because it wouldn't be so abundant around us. So I think it makes people more aware that it, like, happens so often.
So just the other day, one of the trooper wives brought in cookies.
Uh-huh.
And I took a cookie. I was eating. And as soon as I put that cookie in my mouth, I have a couple girls, a couple guys saying, whoa, Johnson's eating a cookie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, I am. Mm-hmm. This is delicious.
Right.
And I know in the back of the mind, they're thinking, how is he eating that cookie?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he's not allowed to eat cookies.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're thinking, and I know that's what they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what I just ate all day. They don't know what I'm going to eat tomorrow.
Yeah.
They will not be doing that, and they will not be eating what I'm going to eat tomorrow.
Right.
But them not eating the same cookie, they're thinking, we're eating the same thing. what's going on. That goes back to consistency. I'm allowed to have that cookie. Yeah. I'm fine eating the cookie. And I know I see it a lot with you, but I certainly see it with myself. And everyone who eats healthy knows the experience of, oh my God, I didn't think you were allowed to eat that. Or, why aren't you eating this? How come? And I'm very comfortable answering that question.
You are.
And some people just aren't.
I'm not, because I feel like I have, because I feel like I get snippy. And you always.
You shouldn't get snippy.
You're right, and I do all the time. Like, because I fucking have diabetes. I do it all the time. I'm like, remember that time that I was diagnosed with diabetes? Like, fuck you. Like, I say it because I think I find myself repeating myself. Matt twists it, though, and he's like, yeah, I am. Yeah. It's really good. And, like, he, like, makes it so not a big deal.
Yeah. It's because it's your trigger when people say something. It's not his trigger. It's not my trigger.
Yeah.
But if someone said something about my reading, I'd be like, fuck you.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't you learn how not to read?
Right.
And then try to read this out loud.
Yeah.
Or, like sometimes if people point out, like, if they're snarky and speak down to you about a spelling mistake or a misspoke word, I'm just like, pound sand.
Yeah. How do you deal with that, Christy? The question of how come you're not eating this?
More like what you do, Matt. I say it's just not what I want to eat right now, or it's not what I'm going to eat right now. But I'm going to have this on this day, or I'm going to have this later today. Mm-hmm. Like, we were talking about how with pregnancy, I've felt like I've had to get my food up.
Yeah.
And I'll have an ice cream sandwich.
Yep.
Like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And granted, it's just me and Mike at the house, and Mike doesn't care at all. He's just like, good, you got ice cream. Can you eat the Neapolitan ones next time? But, I just don't. Yeah. And I think I've been doing it for so long, too, that people see that I have a pretty decent balance, that they don't say something to me.
Yeah.
As much.
See, I think I get frustrated because people have seen that I've eaten a certain way for so long. Mm-hmm. Why are they still questioning me?
Yeah.
So then I get frustrated. Yeah. Like, they've seen me eat the same shit day in, day out for years. So why is it still a question?
Well, you have to know that people are intrigued by you and people don't understand. People truly do want to grasp what you do.
And I'm going to add to that, just being here this weekend, how many times I heard people say they wanted to be you.
Yeah.
A lot of people. More than a handful of people
but
said
then,
it one off or on.
Yeah.
I know.
But then they don't, like, follow up. Do you know what I mean?
Because they don't know what it takes to be you.
They don't even want to know, though.
True.
So then there's, like, a snide comment or, I want to be just like you, but I'm not going to ask you how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm not going to ask, like, how is your diabetes? Mm-hmm. Or is eating like that a little bit better? Like, it's refreshing to me. We went out for a wedding, and two of the trooper wives were like, so tell me what it's like. Like, when you go out to dinner tonight and say there's, like, dressing on top of the chicken, like, how would you calculate that? And I was like, oh, like, I can't wait to tell you all of my story and what I have to do. And then when they finally listened, they were like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I would never want to do that. Yeah.
It's harder to, it's easier to look on the outside and judge one way or the other than to really dig deep and find out why. And that's why there's the world that it is today. Because we, as Matt was saying, kind of through everything, is we only live in our bubbles and we're not comfortable. So many people are not comfortable with being like, what's your bubble like?
Yeah.
Can I ask you how or why?
Right. Instead of saying, like, you live in a Candyland world, tell me how you got there.
Right.
Like, they just, like,
Or resent you for it because they don't know how and they don't ever think they can do it.
Yeah. It doesn't bother Matt. And I love that about him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, meh.
Yeah, because Matt knows both sides of the story.
Yeah.
So he knows, and he knows other people are choosing to, A, know it or not know it.
Yeah.
So, the reason why I don't like mistakes and negativity in my life is because I have no time for that because I have so much of that on the other half of my life as far as what I do for work. And it really, my energy towards negativity is spent at work trying to resolve those issues. When I'm off duty, I am trying
literally to guns hung up.
I am done with the evil. I'm done with the dirtiness.
Yeah.
The nastiness, the language. I'm done with it all. The violence. So I really just focus on the positives.
I hope he's okay that we sent F a couple times.
I curse my name. That's something I can improve on myself.
So, since I told Matt we wouldn't take him for an hour.
An hour.
And we are. And we are going to get our day started. I actually have to head back to Maine soon. I just want to touch real quick on being a father.
Yes.
How's that gonna...
I am so excited.
Yeah? Are you nervous? Because this is a...
It's a good question for him.
This is why. Because I feel we're similar, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's an uncharted territory. Mm-hmm. Uncharted territory is not comfortable. Mm-hmm. You want to master it.
Yeah.
I'm not nervous. I'm ready for the challenge.
Okay.
And I know it's going to be totally... It's going to be a different lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a huge lack of sleep. There's going to be a lot of emotions coming from the girl over here.
Already.
And I, like I told you before, I feel kind of stagnant right now.
Yeah.
Married, career. I need something more to do, and this will certainly fill that void. And I'm just so excited, and I know it's going to come with a lot of challenges. And I think it's just excitement, anticipation. Not really nervous, because it's coming either way, so there's not much to be nervous about.
Yep.
To making it a baby girl, have a little bit more of
I get guys. I would understand someone had to raise a little man, but I'm about to embark on a new journey. we'll see. I see how much my friends love their little girls, and that's what I'm looking forward to. Having a little princess in the house.
I love awesome. It. So we'll end it there. We could ask a little bit more deep questions on that, but that's literally would be another whole part of it. Maybe we'll get into that as the babies get closer.
Yeah.
We'll say, hey, what did you learn?
I know.
And what did you think or whatever? Great. So we always end on one thankful thing or a grateful thing. So Matt, we'll have you go first. What are you thankful for, grateful today, or this week?
I'm thankful you came up.
Of course.
You didn't steal mine.
Well, we can both be grateful for Christy coming up. We don't go out much or hang out with friends, so thank you for making that 4-hour drive to our home and spending time with us. I really appreciate that, and I know Danica does too. We love your company, so thank you.
I was going to tag Over the River and Through the Woods, the Johnson house I go.
Yeah.
But I was like, actually, it's through the mountains.
It's through the mountains.
We're okay.
Yeah.
So that's mine. Thank you for coming.
Oh, of course. Thank you for having me. I love it. It's so peaceful here. Mm-hmm. I know it's hard because you guys are far away, but we were talking about how I am a... Matt was kind of like interested about my... always keeping busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I am. Yeah. I'm a hyper kitty. Mm-hmm. And to be able to come and just not be hyper and just relax. Like, I don't know, every time Danica was like, what about this? I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Whatever. Which was good. It was good for me too. Like, even last night, I didn't tell Matt, but, and I, this could be my one grateful thing, but last night we got home, babe, and Christy was like, the stars are gorgeous tonight. And I was like, oh my God, they totally are. We sat in the driveway. I know, because you always want me to do this, but we...
Leave it to Kristen.
I'll leave you my notes how I got it done.
Danica tells me to go inside every time I
feel like... We saw the Milky Way.
We saw the Milky Way, yeah. But, like, I'm grateful for the breath that you gave to me to take, because I don't often do that. Like, I don't often just, like, breathe and say, and Matt tries really hard to have me do that, but just to be like, yeah, we're going to sit on this driveway and we're going to look up at the stars and talk about, like, our future kids, and it'd be cool to have a telescope with our kids. Yeah. I appreciated that. We'll do it tonight, babe.
It's all you guys after this, so that's a good thing. I know. I actually, I'll kind of add it too. It was really, I mean, I know you, and I know you a little, like, through things, and I've been here before. Mm-hmm. But I really do feel like I was able to get deeper into both of you this time.
Yeah.
I know it's just because we didn't have an agenda. Maybe that's why we get to sit around, talk about the Olympics and all that stuff. But definitely, like, your diabetes, seeing it, and I know the struggles you have to go through every day mm-hmm. with that and then persona people put on you. Mm-hmm. But then also just, I don't know, being able to see you more in your every day.
Yeah.
Because I need that buy the house down the street is what I was told.
Yes. The house for sale. Yeah. Chrissy's moving in.
Yeah.
Great.
And get to just, you know, communicate more efficiently too with both of you and just sit and chat.
Yeah.
It was kind of neat.
Yeah.
And realize that he kind of tried to joke you. Like, yeah, no, that's a small country and whatever.
You do that all the time.
Excellent. Anything you want to add before we close? Either one?
No. Thank you so much, Matt, for being on. I think that our listeners will understand me a little bit more. and we'll be able to put a voice, maybe, to what I always talk about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I really don't mind sitting here and chatting with you girls.
It's easy.
I like keeping my thoughts to myself.
I know you do.
But I think...
Why?
I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know. Like I said, I'm not satisfied yet.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'll ever be.
You have a lot of amazing thoughts, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it hard to have me ask you questions then? Like, throughout the weekend? Okay.
No.
Because I felt like I did ask you a lot of decent questions.
I feel like just some people, they don't really know where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
And they don't know, you know, some police officers are very much guarded and shielded.
Yeah, makes sense.
And I'm not really when it comes to talking to my wife, and that's why I'm saying I'm kind of hesitant to do a podcast. Mm-hmm. But people don't know where I'm coming from. They may think this is bullshit, whatever, but people truly do not know how the other half lives.
Yeah.
And I do.
Yeah.
And it's something that will really change your viewpoint in life. And I'm blessed, kind of, with that, because it sucks. But I think it's made me a better person.
Yeah. It's hard. He has to put, like, a wall.
Right.
Like, the end of the driveway is his wall.
Yeah. But the great thing is, Maddie, you doing this, too, is you are not just a trooper.
Yeah. That's something to remember.
You are not just a trooper. Like, you're an amazing husband, you're an amazing friend, brother, like, all those things that, all those hats. Soon to be daddy. All those hats that you wear, there's a reason why you do such a great job at it, and it's good for our listeners to take away from that, like, oh, I wear a lot of hats, too. How can I work on that?
And I've said that to you.
Yes.
About you're not just a model, bikini model, competitor.
Yeah.
You're a person.
Right.
With diabetes.
And being able to understand that and appreciate it and work on all those other areas too. Right. It'd be okay to talk about those other areas. Yeah.
Good Excellent. Job. Well, you can reach us at championchat360@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at championchat360. Both of us have our own. That's pretty much it. So thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye guys.